Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
You no doubt recall that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is describing to the Thessalonians the elements, description of his ministry among them, because, no doubt, they were being beleaguered, being attacked, being addressed by critics and false teachers who were trying to undermine their confidence in the Apostle Paul. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, he describes his ministry as effective and appeals to their own knowledge and experience, for they themselves are the evidence of that. Their salvation, the establishment of their church, is proof that Paul's ministry was effective. Number 2, he describes his ministry as courageous in verse 2. Pointing out that the very things that had gotten him beaten and jailed and persecuted in Philippi and in other places before that, he continued to preach without changing it one bit, without holding back when he came to Thessalonica. The very same message that caused him suffering and pain, he continued to preach because the gospel cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It cannot be tweaked. It cannot be massaged. It cannot be rewritten. It cannot be improved, as many people seem to endeavor to do today for one reason or another, whatever their reason is. And I'm sure in some cases their motives may be good, but that cannot honor the Lord, because nobody is called to be a personal relations representative for God. He doesn't need that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't require that. What he requires are faithful messengers, faithful ambassadors, faithful heralds, faithful proclaimers of the message that he has given without any alteration whatsoever. It does not need to be shaped and handled. So many times we hear, well, we've got to do it this way because times have changed. That is not our commission, brethren. The changing of times does not justify the alteration of our methods or our message. We take those from the Bible. We take them from God himself. We receive our commission from him, and we carry it out faithfully as he presented it to us. And that's the only way to do it. And that's the way Paul did it. His ministry was courageous. And then thirdly, you recall, he tells us in verses 3 and 4 that his ministry was approved. And we're still talking about that part, and we'll continue today. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, April 5. And thank you for remembering our financial needs if we are going to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Well, what does he tell us in verses 3 and 4? For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Isn't that what I was just saying a moment ago? This is the attitude we must have, and this is the attitude Paul had. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, he gives it to us as a trust, as a deposit. Think of it as a bank deposit. Think of a person who is entrusted to carry that deposit to the bank What's their responsibility? To take what is given to them and to faithfully present it where it is supposed to go. That's it. If they fail to do that, then they have failed their job. If they do that successfully, then they have done the job they are required to do. Our church, like I'm sure many churches, has more than one deposit during the week, generally at least two on Sunday, and sometimes others throughout the week. And because banks aren't open on Sunday, we make use of the safety deposit box, right? But we also make sure that it gets there safely by having it carried by not one, but two individuals. Why is that? Well, on the remote possibility that someone might be unfaithful and decide, I've got all this money and I'm alone, I'll just take it. But of course, we've never had that problem, never had that come up. But we do send two people because of that possibility, and we want to not only be honest, but to appear to be honest in the sight of all men. In other words, we don't give any opportunity for anyone to accuse us of being dishonest with the money. And the people who handle it and who carry it to the bank don't want an occasion for somebody to accuse them, rightly or falsely. So, two people. But another reason for that is for the safety of the courier, because, of course, it's possible that someone is watching and makes note of who brings deposits to the safe deposit box and might begin to pick up on a pattern that these people arrive at approximately the same time on Sunday. And so I'm going to watch for them, and I'm going to rob them when they get to the safe deposit box before they're able to successfully make the deposit. So there are two people that to help forestall that. And what am I saying? I'm just simply saying this is a way to make sure that what was entrusted to them at the church, at the first location, gets carried intact to the second location, to the safe location. And that's the same idea with the gospel. The gospel, think of it as a deposit. God deposits this message to proclaimers whose responsibility is to deliver it. We talk about delivering sermons, don't we? Well, I don't think we usually think of it in this way, but let's think of it in this way. It's my responsibility as a preacher to receive the deposit of the gospel, of the Word of God, that God has given to me. He's entrusted me with it, and to deliver it to the people that I'm responsible to deliver it to, namely, those who God sends to hear me proclaim His Word. That's my responsibility. I don't open the bag, the zippered bag where the money's inside, and decide to rearrange it or to recount it. That's already been done. It gets delivered to me, ready to go, ready to be deposited. It's not for me to do that. It's not for me to do anything with it except just to safely deliver it. And that's the preacher's responsibility, and Paul understood that. As we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. We speak according to what has been given to us. We deliver to others what has been delivered to us. We are heralds, we are ambassadors, we are messengers, and it is our responsibility to make sure that the message of the King, the message of God Almighty, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in the glorious gospel of Christ, this message that has been delivered to us is delivered intact. It is delivered in whole. It is delivered without trimming anything away from it, without adding anything to it. We deliver it to others as it was delivered to us. And when that is done, then the messenger is approved by God. He's a faithful messenger because he has accurately, safely, faithfully, dependably delivered what was entrusted to him. And so we must be approved by God. Paul was approved by God because he did this. And he gives two evidences of God's approval. And we dealt with the first one yesterday, and we'll take up the second one today. But the first one is a divine call. As we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Approved by God. Entrusted with the gospel. This is a divine call. God calls his messengers. God chooses them. God selects them. God calls them. God equips them. God empowers them. God commissions them. God sends them. Now, as I pointed out on the broadcast yesterday, that does not preclude that God uses the approval of others in this process. Sometimes you have men who say they've been called of God. They feel that. Sometimes they're very certain of that, but they give no evidence of it that anyone else can see. Their pastor can't see it. Their pastors, their church can't see it. When they bumble and stumble and don't seem to be able to put together a coherent message to deliver to others, they just don't seem to have the gifts that would indicate that they have indeed been called by God, because they haven't been gifted by God. They haven't been equipped by God. So there must be other places where God intends to serve them, but not in the work of public proclamation of his word. So the way that a divine call is certified is by a person having a sense that he may be called of God, but a humility and the wisdom to have his sense of a calling evaluated by others. And if others agree, the ones who are qualified to make this evaluation, if others agree, then the sense that he has, which has now been ratified by others, becomes a pretty clear commission. And so he can say, I do have the sense that I have truly been called by God. And with that confidence, with that encouragement, he goes forth. If God called me, then God will enable me. God will help me. God will stand by me in this. But what is the other evidence? First of all, a divine call. But secondly, what we might call a singular focus. And I'm looking now at that phrase, not as pleasing men. Verse 4, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak what has been entrusted to us, not as pleasing men, but God. Too often, those who are in ministry are seduced, I guess you might say, either by others or by the sinfulness of their own heart, the weakness of their own heart. It takes both, actually. But are pressured in some way to hold back on the message that has been given to them by God and to shape it in such a way that it'll be more pleasing to men. But Paul said, that's not what I did, not as pleasing men. I do not rely on humanly manufactured remedies and techniques for my ministry. I do not shape my ministry to cater to human demands and desires. I do not change what I preach in order to make it more pleasing to men, because if what I say is pleasing to sinful men, carnal men, unconverted men, then it will not be what God delivered to me, and it will not be pleasing to God. And so it requires courage and confidence in God's word to deliver faithfully what God said, not what men want to hear. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.